So we were up to the Rush, and I've taken an abridged version of the Rush here. And I really don't want to belabor it. I would like to read through it quickly. I think most of you know the sheets of the Rush. There are a couple of points I want to, you know, focus in on. But other than that, I'd like to do the Rush. I'd like to quickly see the tour and maybe the Shulchan Aruch, and then go over the questions that were on the sheet to make sure that we know everything. And if we have any time to talk about Monty Hall for a moment, we could, for those of you who don't know what it is already. So we have a tall order of business, but the questions will also allow us to briefly summarize everything that we've learned in the process. Ilan?
Are you going to be doing Mishmar again this
year? God willing, yeah. I have to discuss with the calendar committee at home. I actually, for the musicians here, would like to use the first couple of pre-Yom Tov sessions for Yom HaNorayim preparation. So, seeing the Nigunim of the yeshiva. Since I have to daven for the Yamud, and so I may require some help in terms of key and things like that to see what people can and can't sing. So, because my key tends to be a little different, but especially when I'm singing. So, all right, so that's the answer to the question. Normally, Thursday nights, usually, I would say once every two or every 3 weeks or something like that. I think last semester was almost every other week. So we have a Mishmar at 8 o'clock. I give shir on the Parsha, usually Ramban, and then after about 45 minutes, we then have kumzitz of some kind, accompanied with music by either Ben Sion or CJ. So we will, God willing, be doing that again. I should tell you, it's mandatory. It's not mandatory, but you should come. It's open to everybody. Okay. The Rush. Zuckier. Right, so he's not even going to cite the other opinions that might exist, neither do the Baalei Tosfos. He doesn't cite the Ravid or the Rambam or maybe even Rashi. Okay, fine. So it's Mutter mid Rabbanan is Bittel Barov. Yeroya.
Rebo
is like, you know, Elef and Rebo. Rebo is 10,000. Okay. So may Rebo the Shalosh. Okay, so we have to explain some before we read on in the commentary here. The Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Ayin Dal is discussing the question of Sveik Sveika by Avodah Zarah and Sveik Sveika by other Isurim. There's a sheet of Shmuel that they will machmir by Sveik Sveika and Avodah Zarah, but Ra permits. What is a Sveik Sveika? So, let's say you have a piece of Avodah Zarah that falls into other pieces of Avodah Zarah. So, that the Gemara terms one suffix. Mido Raisa, there should be Bitul Barov. However, Mido Rabbanan, they will machmir. Now, supposing that one piece of that taroves, it doesn't really matter how many, as long as there are a total of three at least, one piece of that taroves now falls into another block of pieces of hetera. So now, let's say you would take one out of that new mixture. Are you allowed to use it, to benefit from it, to sell it, and so on? So the answer is machlokes. The Rabbi Shimon, somebody at the beginning, whoever it was, says, no, that even Sveik Sveika, Shmuel says, even Sveik, and here's a Tana who says that way, even Sveik Sveika is Aser. So even though when I take a piece out of the second Taroves, maybe this isn't the piece that fell from the first Taroves. And even if it is the piece that fell from the first Taroves, maybe it wasn't actually the Iser. So you don't do that. And the other Shita, what should the other Shita hold, what Rav holds, is that Safek, one Safek is Aser, the original Taroves. The second Taroves is Mutter, one of those, because it's a Sveik Sveika. Now, in the nusach that's presented of the Gemara, though, and some Rishonim are mochik the Girsa, it says, Nafal me echad l'ribo, and then what? Me ribo l'shalosh, and then umishalosh l'makom acher. So what's the problem? To understand the Rush's point there, I don't want to be laboring. Okay. The problem is, why do you need a third taruvus? If you hold that sveik sveik as mutter,
then there's no difference between Nachal Meiribo is also, we understand. Meiribo L'Shalosh should be Mutter, and Mishalosh L'Shalosh should be Mutter. So why do you add the second step? That was the question the Baalei HaTosfos asked.
The Rush is just citing their whole Torah here. And what's the answer to that question? So the Baalei HaTosfos say, there's a difference, you're right. You can take one piece out of the second Harovis, the first set of three. But there's a difference between the second Harovis and the third Harovis. There's a difference between the first set of three and the second set of three. And what is that difference? Whether you produce it all at once. So Tosfos says that the first Harovis, when it fell first into Rebo, and then from Rebo it fell into Shalosh, you can benefit from it, but you can't do them all at once. Why? Because if you were to eat all three at once, or benefit from all three at once, sell them in one block, what would you be doing? You would vadai be using one of the original tarovas. But when it falls, in other words, you know that in tarovas number two, Rebo,
okay, what did Nebo Dezara look like? I don't know. Devil ears or something like that. This is the Abu Dezara that fell into the Rebo. The Rebo one fell into Shalosh and then one into the next Shalosh. So Tosfos says this Shalosh you can benefit from, but not at once. Because this Shalosh Vadai contains one of the Rebo that was Nesa. But this Shalosh, when one came here, you could use all three because it's still a Sveik Sveika. Maybe there's no piece. The piece that I'm consuming comes from one of the, not the one that fell from here, right? But the one of the other two of the Shalosh. And Thilun Tim Salomar, that it's the one that fell in from the Rebo, maybe it's the one that was Mother. So that's, you can eat this entire Shalosh at once as a Sveik Seika, but you can't eat this entire Shalosh at once, because if you eat this entire Shalosh at once, the first Harovest, you're Vaday eating one of the Rebo, and that's only one Suffolk, and that's also.
That's what Tobal HaTosfos say in Zvachim. Rashi has his own Perish. Rabbeinu Tam, I think, or somebody is mochik the Girsa. They just say you don't have three tarovas; they just have two. So the now, but what do you see? What do you see from this particular perush of Tosfos? That when you have that suffix, what can't you do?
Eat them all.
You can't eat them all at once. You can't eat them ka'achas. So the Rush is now saying, though, that in our case here, with this one suffix that we're not here, you can do it all ka'achas. So one might have been tempted to say, just like there when we're makbid for sveika on the second suffix, you're not allowed to do it all at once, because what happens if you do it all at once on the second suffix? You're only left with one suffix. In our case, where one suffix is enough to be matir, in the case of the regular tarovas of three, where there's bitul, so you would say, I can eat one at a time. If I eat all three at a time, the entire suffix is gone, so it's a vadai. So when there are two sveikos there, when I need two sveikos, I can't eat all the second suffix at once. When I only need one suffix, I can't eat from the first suffix all at once. CJ?
Right. That you got it. But then you could also have, you know, a mixture of one in a million, and it's a one in a million percent chance.
I'm not going to do this sugya right now. There's a different approaches to how to understand Sveik Sveika. the postulate is it's hard to argue that you can count. You know, there's one says it's just arithmetic. But the postulate for now we're going to assume is that in order to be called a Sufik, I'll say what I said yesterday, it needs to be indeterminate or 50%. Indeterminate so that we can call it 50% suffix, or we know it's statistically 50%.
If it's determined that it's like really, really small.
That it's usur, then it's mutter because you have a rove. And if it's very, very small, if it's less than 50% that it's mutter, then the rove is machriya, that it's vaday usur. I'm going to just leave that approach a particular moment, okay? For the moment. So now, read Ben. So this is what I just described to you is what the Rush says. He's got to explain why are these two things not the same. Why am I telling you here you can eat all at once, but in the case in Zvachim, you know, Tosfos says you need a third taroves. The second taroves would be mutter to take one at a time, but you can't eat the second taroves, the middle one, completely all at once. Whereas if you get a third taroves, you can eat the entire third taroves at once. So the Rush says it's not lo dummy to that case. Why? Upirishri. Now he explicitly quotes. Right, the difference between the first shalosh and the second shalosh. That's the makom acher. Shalosh. So it's not similar to that case. Don't say this, that it's similar to our case. Dot why the hasam. Probably it should be the Amar, that I can say Isa Lisu Batarasarisham. But Nami. Right. Whose svara, by the way, does that sound like? That's the Rashba in our case. Right? Each when you eat from the Taroves Hasheni, one at a time, each time you're eating, we say Hetera Kaha. So he says, but don't apply that in our case. Aval. It's in one suffix, and that's why it's asra. Aval. Underline that 14 times. De lo mishum sveka sharina le. It's not because of suffix. De afilu. Stop for a moment. Now, I don't understand this line in the Rush.
I think he's saying, if you don't assume that it's rove.
I understand what he says. He says, if you assume it's Mishum Safek, if it's just Mishum Safek, then you shouldn't even be allowed to eat one at a time. Now, why don't, Sveka the Reis al-Chomer, why do I not understand that?
Because it's a rove.
It's not a Safek, it's a rove.
Well, he's saying, if it were to be a Safek,
you could have a suffix, meaning you could have a suffix where I'm not sure what this is. It's either is or heter, but it's probably heter. Probably means based upon a rove, and that's mutter. That's sveik kadoraisa is lakula.
Isn't this reason that's why he's saying that's what it is?
But that's not true. That's the whole point. To say that whenever I have a doubtful case, I don't know if it's A or B or C or D, and they're all mutter except for one of them, we don't say the sveik kadoraisa lachumra. Mehecha they say.
Saying that if
no, none of the
that's
other.
Why, that's why he's saying it's not suffix. If it were suffix, then you couldn't even eat it. So
but it could be. It could be. Remember where he's going. I know where he's going with this. He's going the idea of this concept of bittul that Easter turns into heter. And I'm saying you don't need to go. And the reason he's forcing you to do that is he's saying because if the permissibility of eating one piece was based upon a principle of it's a suffix and we'll make on one suffix here, we'll sveik the rest of the chumra. Yes. It will make on one suffix because there's a rove. In other words, yes, it's a suffix because the isser still exists, and we don't know which piece the isser is. He's saying what the Rashba says makes absolutely no sense in terms of being allowed to eat one at a time based upon a rove. And the Rashba makes perfect sense. I think it makes perfect sense. Of course, yes, it's a suffix. There is isser here, there is heter here, except for it's probably heter, so I can eat this one. Next one, same thing, and so on. If it were 50-50, I'd understand that. Ellie?
Is it possible that the Rush only ever understands suffix in terms of possibility and not probability? Because what he's saying here is if you use suffix, you have to have that problem.
Okay, so you know, I'm not
going to. The entire concept of rove, not just here, but everywhere.
I'm not going to belabor this point. This is a makar you have to file away. It's one of those things, if you want, one day you become a great lamdan, you file this makar in the way in the back of your head, and you put it together a shear, and magically you pull this out of your head, and you see, and this explains that funny Rush. I mean that seriously. In other words, I just don't know what to do with it because he's negating the Rashba's position. You could disagree with the Rashba and you can say heter is an epoch is heter. I don't have a problem with that. But the Rashba's position makes sense in its own terms, right? That it's a suffix, but we follow a rove. In other words, it's not what we call suffix. Sveika deraisa lachumra means 50% suffix iser. You have to go lachumra. Sveika deraisa when it's a 67% chance that it's mutter. Well, it's mutter to do. That rove is mutter. Is it a suffix? Sure, it's a suffix, because I don't know for sure which it is.
That's just a different kind of rove that exists. He's just saying, this is what rove is. Rove is the heter. There is no other type of rove. There's no such thing as a rove of probability.
Okay, but you can't bring me a raya just because, in other words, he is trying to say that the isser is no longer extinct.
Yes.
You can't bring me a raya from the fact that mitzad suffix, it would be, but let's say I have three, I think in every situation where I'm not sure whether something is going to be us or a mutter, not a bittul, so forget a bittul situation. You come up with a case where there's a 50%, you have numerous cases in your vamos, right? Where at least al pi din, a man's mother-in-law goes away and I'll give you an example. Let's say a man's,
a man has no children. His wife's mother, his wife, a man has no children. He dies. His mother has gone away to Medina Saya.
And the question is, should we be Hoshesh whether or not she became pregnant and had a son, and the wife is now, needs Yibor Halitza from the son? So the Gemara offers the following, that Rov Nashim, we assume that most Nashim are Misavros V'yoldas. Okay, so that's why we're concerned, assuming the mother-in-law isn't so old that she can't have children. So Rov Nashim are Misavros, Nashim are Misavros V'yoldas, the Chazaka. So, but, when a woman gives birth, I'm sorry, no, the case would be, no, we're not Choshesh, but if his mother-in-law went out pregnant, she left Lamdina Sayam, and she was pregnant. Do you have to be Choshesh that there's a son there waiting? So the way it works is that there's a 50% chance the child born was male, a 50% chance it's female. If it's female, then you don't worry about Yimor Halitza. But before you even get there, it's a Mir Hanashim Hamapilos. There's a small percentage, let's say 2% of women, who miscarry. So if you have 2% of women miscarry, and of those who give birth alive, it's a 50-50 chance. It's actually not, but it's the slightly larger number of males born, but not enough to affect this equation. So if 2% are mapilos, they miscarry, and the remaining 98%, half or so, have a zachar, so it means that the chances that there being a zachar kayim is about 49%. So, and therefore, she's free to be married. But you can't talk about bittul there. It's a safek, but we follow probabilities. So I don't see why in the case where I have three pieces of meat,
they say that's just a rove. It's like when it's a suffix, it's not a rove. When it's a rove, it's not a suffix. That's what he's just redefining.
That's what I've been doing. But the whole point is that this tarovis yavish biyavish with three pieces. When I pick up the first piece to eat it, it is a case of rove. He's calling it suffix.
No, he said it's not a suffix. He said if it were a suffix, then I couldn't eat it because suffix is when I only have a.
Yes, I know, but he leaps from that to say isur nepachlios hetter. You don't have to go that far. You could say, if it were safek, meaning out of one out of two, it would be us. Now, one out of three could be mutter mitzad rov. But without saying, iser nepach liyaseter, the next step is to say, oh, not only is it mutter because of a rov, but there isn't even iser here anymore. There's a jump that's being made that I don't understand. And you won't let me get past this. No.
If it's truly the case that something is only a 50-50 chance, then why is the paradigmatic sugya sveik sveika
ask me cautious for that. I wouldn't call that the paradigm. It's different. More, I thought you would throw me super stuff test them at Aleph. So the problem with that this Gemara is it's all the Rabbanon. And in other words, we call it Sveik Sveika. We don't mean Sveik Sveika in the classic sense. The classic Sveik Sveika, if you can say such a thing as the classic, is a man discovers his wife is not a virgin on their wedding night. And they had a long period between Erisin and Nisuin. And the concern is maybe she committed adultery. So there's a suffix whether it was Kodem Shinasarasa or La'acha Shinasarasa. And if, even if it was La'acha Shinasarasa, maybe she was raped. Now, those are things.
Those are
possibilities. I guess there are possibilities where you can't legitimately assign a number. So we treat it. That's why I said it's indeterminate. We treat it as 50-50. Right? So that would be a better example of Sveik Sveika than the Gemara and Zavach. So I don't know. You can, maybe you're satisfied. I'm totally not satisfied with this rush, but it's something to file away. Maybe you'll use this to overturn my assertion that Sveik means 50% or indeterminate. But I don't see how you get around that. But again, it's not that I think that the rush is right and that the rush is wrong. I just don't find this to be a compelling argument. In other words, the rush is correct. If you say Isser nefach liyos heter, it should be mutal ofan kachas. The fact that we permit, if we were to hold like the Rashba to permit one at a time, that doesn't mean that we're saying sveika deraisa lekula. It means we're following a rov on each one, as the Rashba himself says explicitly. That's my point. By the way, just as a historical note here, I haven't started my biographies yet, and I'm not going to start with the Rush of the Rashba. What is the relationship between the Rush and the Rashba? Okay, so I'll say very, very briefly here. I used to say, and my Eishes Chayil claims that she is not the source for this, even though I think all useful medieval things that I know are from her. So someone once said to me that the Marami Wittenberg had four main Talmidim. I discovered that there's a fifth, the author of the Shari Dura. But the four main Talmidim were, and you might have heard this from me, so now I'm adding a fifth, the Sharitura. The four main Talmidim were the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, you know what he wrote, then Mordechai ben Hillel, who wrote the Mordechai, that's printed in the back. There are a couple of different, very different editions of the Mordechai, but that's who it was. Then there was, what was his name, I can't remember now, who wrote the Hagos Maimonios on the bottom of the Rambam. That was the third Talmud. And then there was a Tashbetz, not the Tashbetz that's more famous, a less well-known Tashbetz, who was a Talmud of the Rami Rutenberg, and then you can add at least the Shari Duet. There were some other Talmudim also. Now, the Rush fled. Remember the Marami Rutenberg was arrested, thrown in prison. There was not a good time for Jews in Germany. The Rush fled to Spain. I'm pretty sure the Tur was already born at the time he fled to Spain. Now, who lived in Spain when the Rush was there? Well, the Rush budded. The central question I'm really asking is, aside from the Rashba, well, I guess you already have Tosfos, would the Rush have known about the Rashba? Would the Rashba have known about the Rush? And the answer is, they're almost contemporaneous. I don't know if the Rush is younger. I don't know if the Rashba ever cites the Rush by name. I may be in a tshuva somewhere. I'm not familiar with all the tshuvas of Rashba, but the Rush does, on a rare occasion, cite the Rashba by name, which leads me to think of the possibility that the Rush actually knew what the Rashba had to say on the sugya. In other words, it's not that the Rashba is just working against a theoretical backdrop, let's say, of Tosos. He may actually know what the Rashba has said. And I think what the Rashba's case here, anyway, so back to our back to the Rush. I think that the Rashba, whether you think he's correct or not, and whether you think Issa Nipach Leos Heter is relevant or not, I don't understand the Rush's taina. I don't understand this as a proof. Okay. Continue, Betsy.
Okay. You should be there, sir. To Dekas de Chsiv Achri Rabin Latos. Hilka Chavitrei, Batal, Venebach, Yisr, Lius Heter.
Right, that's the key line. It's not the Achri Rabin Lahatos. It's that what Bittul means is that Nepach, Yisr, Lios Heter. Now, the truth is, Mutal Ochlan?
Mutar Lochlan, Afilu Kulan Kefa.
Right, so that's what you say now. I hear an important caveat, which Hidrush doesn't spell out, but I think is relevant. I told you, I don't like Achri Rabin Lahatos. I would want to reverse the Makoros. I would rather the Rush be dam, and because for the Rush, it's a little bit like chemistry, because one is being transformed. Whereas for the Rashba, it's probability. And you would throw Achir Rabim Lahatos, that you put Rove and Safek and so on. But what actually does Achir Rabim Lahatos mean in Chazal's interpretation?
Sanhedrin.
A Beis Din, that you follow a majority. Now, but what does that mean when you follow a majority in a Beis Din? So I have a brilliant kasha for you. There's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and we pasuk like Shmuel. Let's say I sell you a cow, an ox, and you bought the ox in order to be able to plow your field. But I sold you a wild and crazy ox, who is actually dangerous. And you know what you need to do with a wild and crazy dangerous ox? Shech them and turn them into filet mignon. Either you bought a Torah l'ridja or l'nichsa. Ridja is plowing, nichsa is shchita. I sell you, Ben Sion, a Torah l'nichsa. I know it's a wild and crazy cow. And you needed to plow your field, but you didn't say anything. Now, most people in this place buy their cows for plowing, but some people, it's a minority, buy it for shechtan. And you say, I bought it for plowing. I said, well, you didn't say that. And I assumed you were selling it for you said for plowing, I sold you for shechting. Too bad. I didn't deceive you. What's the din? So Shmuel says, Ein holchem mamon acha harov, and therefore I win.
There's like two robes. There's like one robe of like...
Huh?
So now
I ask you the following question. I'm such a Talmud Chacham. I come into Beis Din. I take up my case against Alter again, and I have the same Dayanim, whoever they were. Tal, and I don't know who else was the Dayanim. And they rule, and Tal, and this time, it reverses. Tal and Simon rule against me, and Jared rules in my favor. So I'm such a chacham, I say, okay, that's nice, but I'm not going to abide by the din. You know why? Because it's a din in mamonos issue. Alter is trying to get money from me. And in holcha b'mamonach arov, that's nice. Isn't that great lumpus? By the way, it's unfortunately there is such a thing, which is a terrible, terrible thing, and Dayanim don't like this. A notion in Din and Mamon is something called Kimli, when there's a minority Shita, but the other, and not, it's not how the Dayanim split. I'll explain to you a second why it's irrelevant by Dayanim, but that the Paisim Paskins on the basis of this Shita, but I can say, no, I don't accept it because Kimli I hold like the other Shita. Now, by a Beis Din, the reason why my story with Alder is ridiculous is because when a Beis Din rules, we say rubo kikulo. In the case of a Beis Din, a majority is every dayan said the same way. In fact, we don't even write in the Psak Din that it was a 2-1. We say ishpolinet achayv, ishpolinet zakai, period. So that's why you can't say inoch amamachar rov there. I'm not saying it's my own. Tosfos talks about this. But the quest with Kimli actually says with the Beis Din paskim following Shita X, and I say, well, Kimli, I hold like a different Shita. That's very, very, very difficult and very problematic. Not our discussion then. But bottom line is, I would say that what's appealing to the rush about Ahai Rabban Lahatos is that when you're talking about Beis Din, when you say you follow a rove, what does that mean? It means that rove is kol. It means that everything in the mixture, all the dayanim, are now saying the same thing. And by analogy, by the pieces of meat, all the pieces of the meat are the same thing. Right? We say rubo kakulo. At this point, the rove rubo kakulo Ahai Rabban Lahatos means that everything in the mix is transformed to be the same thing. Okay. So now we just continue. Umid Rabbanan. Okay, so the Rush doesn't explain now. He explains it later. And I'm actually going to use this as the opportunity to go off on, I'll call it a tangent, but it's a very, very, very important. It's not a tangent from Yeridea. The Rush says that Yediyah matters. Right? And you know the Rush says later that if you know about the taroves before you cook it, it's mutter. If you don't, it's not. Now, this is a pretty wild idea, but it's going to turn out to be very, very, very important in Siman Sadi test and in Hilchas Pasa B'Chalav. And I want to just explain this concept to you now. This is one of the major concepts in Yeridea and Hilchas Taroves. Supposing I have a trait piece of meat, chazir, that falls into 30 pieces of heter meat. Mutar asur, one piece of chazir into 30 pieces of meat, kosher meat, mutar asur.
Asur.
30-1. And I can taste, even with Rabbanan, it would be the mino, it would be asur. Then you need shishim. Okay, but here, many Mishan holds Doraisa, okay? Now, these 31 pieces of meat and chazir together fall into 30 more pieces of meat, and we stir up the pot. Okay, and now, can you taste the chazir shmaltz?
No.
And the flavor will diffuse. Is it mutter or not?
It becomes one unit the first time.
Okay. So, the answer is it's a major machlokas harishon. Now, we generally assume the machlokas is on the rabbanon level, midaraisa, it's mutter. However, let me give you the example where it's an achlokes hatanaim and amoraim, but our psak halacha is clear. Supposing I have a piece of meat in a pot, and a whole thing of milk falls in, and there's 30 times the milk in the meat, but the meat flavors the meat. Now it's basar b'chalav. So I've got a problem, because I have chalav that was cooked with basar and got absorbed in there. Now, one might be tempted to say the following. Let's say I invented in the laboratory a magic substance called Voom. You know what the reference is? Oh, see? This man's a god. He knows. I think it's the Cat in the Hat Comes Back.
Cat in the Hat Comes Back,
yes. Yeah. I didn't exist when I was a child. But I only know because I read it to my children. Okay. He invents Voom. Okay? And he applies the Voom to the meat and it extracts the milk. And now the meat tastes like every other piece of meat. Is it mutter to consume it? Now, before you answer the question, this is not an imaginary question of whom, but the other way of extracting the milk is to dump more meat in there. In other words, it doesn't extract the milk, but it eliminates the tam of the milk. Because now, the one kazayis of milk in 60 kazayis of meat, it can't taste anymore. At this point, is it mutter to eat? The Gemara has two terms for this concept. One is whether efshar lesokto is asur or mutter. Imagine efshar l'sokto. I take my piece of meat, I squeeze it out, and I get all the milk out. Now can I eat it? It's a machlokas, big machlokas on Amoraim. This concept is probably, I'm going to say this otherwise at some point in the next month, but many Rishonim link this to be the same thing as another concept that's known as chaticha nase nevela. and for short we call it chanan. You're going to see that abbreviation over and over again. It stands for chati chanasis devela, and you will, by the time you see it for the first time, you will have ingrained in your head what the concept is, which is, as Ben Sion was suggesting, I'm going to apply it for the moment in this case. One piece of chaz shmelz falls into 30 pieces of meat. It's now all aser because it's flavor. Do you say that this now becomes a new chetz of iser? And now when the 31 fall into the 30, combined together, it's not enough. You need actually 1,860 pieces of meat, or can revatel the 31, if I did the math right, of iser? That's the question. Here's the... Now, we...
That makes no sense, like, chemistry-wise. Like, that you're taking, like, the like... We took the math and applied it to the
only from a Tom perspective, let's say.
Well, that's what chemistry is, isn't it? The 160 is just about Tom.
Agreed, but let's say this all now is genuinely transformed into Isser. So now it's a min b'mino shana. And Tom is insufficient.
If you were to eat all of those pieces of meat, the piece of meat that had the milk in it still tastes like milk.
No. For the milk, no. The answer is it doesn't. If I were to take this meat that absorbed the milk and I were to cook it in the pot, with other pieces of meat, not pieces of meat, the milk flavor would diffuse throughout the pot because you're cooking it. You'd have some type of a liquid, a broth in there.
This is
that would cause it to diffuse.
It's not that the milk is already in that piece of meat.
Well, I'm not. We have to discuss what the din is. The question is, do we say
it's a new unit?
And it's a new unit. Now, it happens to be that we paskin, like those Amoraim and Gemara who say that you say chaticha nasas devela by vaser v'chalav, and we assume it's nidoreis. In other words, when I cook meat and milk together, the reason everybody agrees is I'm taking heter plus heter. So the iser stems from the fact that I have a new creation here. Once that meat becomes basar b'chalav, even if I use chemicals to extract the chalav and you can't taste it anymore, the meat is an iser d'oraisa basar b'chalav. And therefore, if that falls into another tarubas, you need shishim keneged meat. Now that requirement is the rabbanon because it would be, if you can't taste the milk anymore, it's meat and meat, so d'oraisa is b'chalav b'ro. But by Basa B'chalam, you have a new Isra that's been created, a new Chefza Shal Isra. Does this then apply by all other Isurim? So that's a huge machlokas. All of Chachmei Sfarad, and many of the major thinkers in Ashkenaz say, it's going to be the person to know in Ashkenaz is Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Balei HaTosos. I don't know if it's Rabbeinu Ephraim of Regensburg or someone else. Rabbeinu Ephraim, quote in Tosos, says like all of Chachmei Sfarad, no. B'chaticha Nasas Nevela is limited to Basa B'chalam. Why? Because when chazir gets mixed into basar, why is it asr to eat? It's iser plus heter. The heter is only asr to eat because I'm tasting the chazir. Once I get the chazir out of there by extracting it, by blending the stuff, in principle it should be mutter, because you don't say chati chanas is nevela. Only by basar b'chala, where the two elements were heter. So how do you say what's asr when you put them together? So again, there is another shita. One shita of Amoraim say no. It's only usr to eat basar b'chalav when you can taste both. But the way we pass is that no, when you cook basar b'chalav together, you get a new chetza shel iser. Now instead of having five kazesim, which is really four kazesim of meat and one kazayas of chalav, instead you have five kazesim of basar b'chalav. If you extract the milk from there, you know what you're left with? Four kazesim of basar b'chalav. You still have to be mevatel the four kazesim. What?
Milk's also basar b'chalav.
Correct.
You extract it.
Correct.
So you still have five.
Correct. You're five, right? Okay, but
plus how much room you put in.
What?
Plus how much room.
No, that's just that depends whether you have four and one or you have four and a half, whatever. Okay. So anyway, chaticha nasa is nevela is a major principle. It's one of the very frustrating things that you would find, not anymore, hopefully, because it's presented in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Basar B'chalav, but it's going to get tangential mention repeatedly in Hilchos Taruvos. So if you haven't done Basar B'chalav yet, then you don't know what it's talking about, but now you do. So now you know what chaticha, that's the term, whether you say chaticha nasis tevela. So most, all Chachmei Sfarad, many Chachmei Ashkenaz say it only applies by Basar B'chalav, and that's midoraisa. There is, however, a position in Ashkenaz, Rabbeinu Tam, who says, no, that chaticha nasis tevela applies by all Yisurim. We assume, though, that outside of Basar B'chalav, it's only Rabbah. Now, why do I tell you this? Because there is a smag that will be quoted by the tour in Simon Zadites, who says the following. Rabbi, I've got a shayla for you. I was cooking some chicken soup and some trei stuff fell in. A
okay, so the rabbi says to the balabaster, or the balabas says, okay, well, tell me how much treif is in this and how much heter is in this. And the person says, rabbi, well, there's about 7 times of soup as there is of the ister. So you think you're a talmud chacham, and you said, and you're feeling good, you know, the balabatim really like you if you give kulos. You know, Rav Lichtenstein's and Talmud Rach, apparently, I forget if we quoted what major rabbinical figure who said, classically speaking, postim are not machmirim. You know why? It's what I call the law of natural selection of postim. Mm-hmm. If you give too many kumras, people stop calling. As Rav Moshe once explained, how do you become a postim? Can you put up a shingle? People send the shilas. They like these answers. So they send the more shilas. So they become postim. So if you give too many kumras, they stop calling you with shilas. So you're really glad this one goes in your heter ledger. Mutter! So Smag says, not so fast. You got to ask the balabas the following question. Supposing you have to say, well, tell me, there are 70 times broth as there is of the issur. But was it that way the entire time? Or did it initially fall into less broth? And you have to have added water, because that's what you do sometimes when you're cooking soups and cholents and so on. You have to ask that question. Now, the Smag almost certainly, in that, the practice was not to do so. So if you, why did the Smag almost certainly say you asked that question? It's obvious. Why?
Right.
Because maybe when it fell into the soup originally, there wasn't enough to be mevatel it. And now you added water, so there's enough to be mevatel it, but once it became usher initially, now you need 60 times that amount, you know, 60 times half the volume of the soup, the whole soup, not just the issur to be mevatel. Jared, is this something, do you understand what I said?
If the kazayis of Issa fell into your soup when there's only 40 kazayis of soup in there, and now it cooks a little bit and flavors it, and now you add water, the entire, if you say hanan, you now have 41 kazayis of Issa. So when you added 30 kazayis of more liquid into the soup, that's not enough. You need to add 2,400 kazayis.
Now you have 70. Now it's even worse.
Okay. Now the point is, you have, once the 40 is flavored by the 1, you don't have 40 kazayis of heter plus 1 of issa that you can't eat because you might taste issa. You have 41 of issa. And once it becomes usur, once the issa flavors the heter, all of that's now issa. And now, when that, in order to be mevatel that, you need 60 times that. But that's the idea of tana.
So, that's what the Smag says. But we don't do that. We don't do that. And the question is, why don't we ask? If we are machmir, so again, the Beis Yosef will say, that if you don't hold like Rabbein Tam, if you hold that Chaticha Nasa Stavela only applies by Basar B'Challah, so then you understand why it doesn't matter. And as it makes no difference whether the 40 and the 30 fell at once, or they fell in at separate times. It makes no difference because you don't say Hanan. Once you get the Tam out of the soup, it's all fine. But if you say Chaticha Nasa Stavela by all Isurim, so why aren't we concerned that the Isser originally fell into less soup, and it's just part of the process. You added water. And therefore, you've got a problem, because it's not enough to add those 30 kazeis of water. You've got to add a whole truck full of water in order to mevatel the Isser. So, in that context, there are various answers offered, but the Darkei Moshe makes the following claim. And he says, it might be, that the only time you say tachaticha nasis, let's take the following case. 40 kazayim in the soup. A kazayis of isser falls in, but you didn't know about it, right? You turn. You're looking this way, and then the dog comes and tosses his bone into the soup. Now you turn around. You don't realize that the bone is there. You pour 30 more things of liquid in there, and then you realize 20 minutes later there's a dog bone in here, and you realize that the only time that the dog bone could have gotten in there was before you added the 30. So the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, in his commentary on the Torah, Darkei Moshe says that it's not a problem. Even if you hold Chaticha Nasa instead of Bar Shari Surim, why? Because Yidiyah matters. In other words, in order for the thing to be Nasa Stavela, in order for the 40 things of liquid soup to come in the Vela, from the dog bone, you have to know about it. Eventually, when you find out about it, it will be Yasser, if no liquid is added. But if before you found out about the Yasser falling in, you added liquid, so the yediyah is goremes to the hanan. And without that yediyah, it's not nasas nevela. And now when you're coming to the rabbi, the rabbi says, when you discover the isser in there, how much heter was? 70?
Mutarlach, mutarlach, mutarlach. So that's an example where yediyah, in a
different way, yediyah is what causes the isser there. In our case, the Rosh is claiming yediyah is what causes the hefer.
Alvin. Why don't you apply yediyah to every case? Instead of if you have three pieces of meat and one of them's not kosher, you eat all three separate times, let's say, that you're over and isser the rest of shogun. You know yediyah, you didn't know it was about that.
Oh, you could ask that question legitimately. And all might be, the question is whether this is really a din d'oraisa or not. Whether or not this would be true on a d'oraisa level. The Rush, I think it's clear that this requirement is only d'rabbanan. The Rush would say that if I'll be din d'oraisa, well, it's obvious anyway in this case, because the soup is mutter mid'oraisa because the majority of the flavoring agent was heter. But I think if you look at the, so it's hard to tell from the Rush, but the question is whether that works on a d'oraisa level or not. And in which cases.
Question could also be applied there, but I don't know what if you require for Yavish or Yavish in Shana.
Now the Shaila is, did you violate some kind of Nisid Rabbana post facto? No, that's not, there's no nafkamina. There's not enough. Are you going to say nafkamina, you have to clap one extra Al Khaydan and Kippur? No, I don't think so. CJ?
Why can't the mutter stuff that you're adding like reawaken the mutterness of the.
So question number one, which is discussed, is whether or not you say by heter chazer and eora. But number two, all you're highlighting the fact is that when we say chaticha nasas devela, we are saying heter nepach lios iser. Now, in all honesty, I cut this part out of the Rush. The Rush discusses this at great length without talking about chaticha nasas devela. But the difference between, let me tell you the difference between heter nepach lios iser versus chaticha nasas devela. Heter nepach lios iser probably can, especially because of neora, just means that while it's in the taroves and while it's overwhelmed, we treat it all as iser, each kazayas or kazayas. But it doesn't mean that if hukar haheter, that it will be aser. As the Rush would say, if I have five pieces, three are treif and two are kosher, and it's aser to eat, he would say, probably, is heter nepach lios iser. But if it was hukar haheter, just like in our case now of hukar iser, it would be mutter. By chaticha nasas devela, it is a core transformation. It's not a provisional one.
But then, if you're eating, but then on the flip side, when you're eating three, two of which are you're eating three tapas.
Right.
And the Rush says that's mutter. Not a problem. Right.
Right now, it's not hukar, and therefore it's all heter.
So, but it's not all heter; it's all considered heter.
Well, okay. I mean, that's what it means. It's all heter. The Rush's position is so strange. Not right now. His end position that if Isser falls in, the heter wakes up, is strange enough that the Aruch HaShulchan says it's only midrabbanan, midarai says mother. Because it's very hard to understand that. But the truth is, and it makes sense in a certain way. If you say like the Aruch HaShulchan, you're almost saying it's the inverse of chaticha nasas nevela. Right. I'm not going to say anything more on this. We could beat this to death. There's a lot, you have to learn the sugya of Hanan, and there are many details in it that you could come and revisit this, because it's actually more complicated. Let me just say the following. Nobody says that you say Hanan by Yavesh B'Yavesh. We'll talk more about that, but that's pretty... I don't see nobody. It's very clear. We don't say Chanan by Yavesh B'Yavesh. Even according to the Ramah, we don't say Chanan by Yavesh B'Yavesh. Think about Chanan and its origin. It comes from Basar and Chalav, which one flavors the other. And by Yavesh B'Yavesh, there's no flavoring. It's separate pieces. We'll talk about that when we get the Chanan. So we may or may not revisit this, but let's just leave this for now. Okay. Jared?
I would go AD should be a factor for... even if like it was a 1/30th is not kosher, so then the third, then it's just not kosher. But then if you realize later, after now it's 1/60th, like either way it functions as the same thing. So what difference would it make?
So the claim is that chaticha nasa is nevela. The ta'am when one falls into 40 is physical, and that physical action is undone But there's no change in status until we know. In other words, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, it doesn't make a sound. Now when the 30 falls in and the time is done away with, and now all of a sudden we discover this is issue there, well, what is the metaphysical status? The answer is it's mother. If you know about it, then the argument by Hanan, by that case, would be is that your knowledge is what creates the transformation of status into Nevela. Not just the physical being. If the physical change is not enough. It has to be that there's a kind of halachic evaluation that changes the metaphysical status. The physical status can be undone by adding more heter. The metaphysical status, if you hold Hanan, can never be undone. It's a chiddush. It's a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush when the Rama says it's Siman Tzadi test. It's a big chiddush when the Rush says it here. Bencio?
Nothing. If you say like the thing about like adding it and then becomes a new unit, so nothing can ever not be batel. Like if you have 1 gallon of milk and 10 gallons of soup, right? And I pour it in. So unless all of it contacts all of it at the same time, then what happens is the first drop falls in, and now it's a drop in the 10 gallons.
We have something that's called bavas achas. I understand what you're highlighting. You're highlighting that there's a bracketing. There's a time frame which we evaluate things. And you're pointing out that on the lowest level, so there always is a process over time, and we don't immediately stop and say, right now, freeze frame in the middle of the action. And so why not say that yediyah can also be included? You can have bigger brackets. That can affect what you're saying. Okay.
Does that do? Could we say that? Could you just drip everything in, like a drip in time, and like, I see it.
There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah in the fifth parak about this question. It's called kama batil. That was what I said in Shir yesterday, that according to the Aruch HaShulchan, I can even retire all the meat in the world.
Right.
So, okay. So let's continue in the rush. I think you're up to the second paragraph. Let me take over, actually, just because of time interest. Well, Aval davar yavesh chad betrehu debata barov la mishum sveika mutar al gzeres al kasavu hilkach mutar la'ochban kulon ka'echad. It's not because of sveika, but rather because of gzeres al kasav. The lekel lemeimar de b'chaticha ridis kabed asu chacham chada sveika kagon tarovas harishon laochlo afilu chalachada. The two are sveika kagon tarovas hasheni laochlo shneim el kunka achas. Aval b'chaticha shen ridis kabed he tiro afilu chada sveika kagon tarovas harishon laochlo kulu chada aval lo lochun kol achas. So the Rosh says, don't say that. By the way, the word veleka here in many of your printings says ve'ika, and they correct it on the bottom. And if you look at the Beis Yosef's quotation on the Rosh, it says veleka. The Rosh says, don't say that. What if, in fact, it's also to eat them, kulam bevasachas? In our case, says the Rosh. Somewhere in Shas, the Gemara should have said so. Because you know, when it comes to the case of Avodah Zarah and Rimone Badan, where the first safek is mutar, but the second safek is asur. So the Rosh says there, the way it taught us there was, isura betarobes harishon, hetera betarobes hasheni. Hachanami, in our case, la'ashme'inan isura v'teir b'chatech ha'sheni l'izgabed, namely, isura la'ochlan ka'achas, and ha'teir la'ochlan chadachadim ishum seka. Somewhere should the Gemara should have said. So they made the distinction. Just like by Rimei Badan, they have one case of mutter, one case that's osur. It's osur if it's one tarovis, mutter if it's two tarovis. So the Gemara somewhere should have said the same thing here. That to eat it v'vasachas is osur, to eat it v'zachas is mutter. But nowhere does the Gemara actually say that. Okay, and then he continues. Skip to the next paragraph. The afal gad the mimamino oserat shishim haynu kodem shano de taruto. That's only before the taroves. The gazu chachamim sheyase b'shishim afal pi de lo yav taima gzera atum b'mishenam mino de yav taima aval achar shano de taruto v'nisbata barov v'nepacha esur lios kulo mutar yachal ochon rafi vasachas shuv lo yitachin lomar shetesar pleitasa. So here the Rosh says that if you cook the stuff. All three. After it falls in, it's mutter, if you knew about it. Only before you know about it, there is some type of gzeir midrabanan. Once you know about it, it turns into heter, and it's impossible that what it spits out, that which it flavors, will be asur. And he goes on to cite an example from Shrumos about yediyah being goremes. But one point that I think I cut out a little bit here, but I should really highlight, the Rush says it's impossible to have something that the object is mutter, but the rotev is asur. You can't have something that's mutter, but the stuff that comes out of it is asur. So we spoke about that yesterday. It's in the Rush, but I cut it out. Moving to the last paragraph in the Rush. The Afal Pishemotalecha Shlashdon Ke'echa Negamen Nispashil Enamasuros Mihu Imitosef Alav Isur Achen Israbe Ala Heter Motza Minas Min of an Air. He's borrowing from the Gemara, I think, of Bechoros. That once more Isser falls in, it awakens the Isser that was there, and now you have a row of Isser. V'chein ha-din v'chol Isser and Shenis Batlun. Watch this carefully. Lo mi ba'i min b'sheno mino b'yeser mishishim v'yachakach nitosaf Isser shemitztarif v'merishon lesor sharin itztarif yachad tamo Isser mino sein tam beheter. You know where it's mistabra to say chasra v'neora? Where is it more mistabra to say the chasra v'neora? By min b'sheno mino. Why? Because you can taste it. Right, I understand. My chazer shmalz fell into meat. One piece of chazer shmalz into 70 pieces of meat. I can't taste it. Another chazer shmalz piece falls in. Now it's 1 in 35, or 2 in 70. Now I can taste it. Of course you said chazer v'neora. I understand why. Because the tam, in fact, was literally chazer v'neora. But he said not only that case. He says, v'gam bin b'mino b'davar lach b'yesem ishishem mitztarefa achim arishon afal gavad lo yevtaima. Even by lach b'lach, we say the same thing. Even though there's no nesinas tam, ki chachabim gosu min b'mino atu min b'sheino mino. Ela afilu min b'mino b'davar yavish nispata b'rov heter afilu midrabanan v'achar kach nitosef iser matzam min es mino b'ner. Even by yavish b'yavish. Even by yavish b'yavish. In other words, the truth is, it's not merely a gzeira atu min b'sheino mino. V'hatam hanachon shebo mishum da'af ki nisbata la iser b'rov heter v'huta la'achila. In other words, the Rush says the following. Supposing after my Isser fell into Heter, and I'm ready to eat all three pieces, and then a little malach comes down, and he says, you know that that's the piece of Isser. That's the piece of Isser. So what's the din? So the Rush says, of course it's also to eat. What? Okay, why is that wrong?
Because
it's mitzias. It's a mitzias, not a halach. It's a mitzias. The malach, and a navi can tell you what the mitzias is. A navi can't pasken halacha for you based upon his nebuah. So, the Rush says, if somehow the Isser were to be well identified, so then it would, in fact, be Asa. So now, when you're putting the last two pieces in, In other words, now that two pieces of Isser fall in, now the Isser wakes up. Can we identify which is the piece? No. But now we have three pieces of Isser and two pieces of Heter. Now, again, he says, Vahave ke'ilu hukar Isser. Is it really hukar Isser? The answer is no. I still don't know what the Isser and Heter pieces are. Nonetheless, I mean, I don't know what the original Isser, which is Shinispata, was. That's what the Rush says. I mentioned the Aruch HaShulchan says that he thinks this is a Din Rabbanan. Okay, so that is the famous Shita of the Rush. Let's take a brief look now at the Torah. And the Torah in Simen Kuf Tes writes as follows. Chaticha shenarui l'skabed shenisarva b'cheros yavesh b'yavesh b'teila filu chad b'trei u'lechora nira she'ein chiluk bein nisarva b'mina bein shalo b'mina kigon shenifrod l'chatichos dachos she'nikar bein zelazeh. The Torah says, it seems to me, really, there shouldn't be any difference between mim b'mino and mim b'sheino mino by yavesh b'yavesh. Either way, it should be batel b'rov. Avol bala trumos kosav davko shenisare b'mina avol mim b'sheino mino afili yavesh b'yavesh tzarech shishim kevan de'im yavashla nyite mantal. So the Torah says, look, the Sefer HaTruma disagrees. Now, by the way, he's called here the Bal HaTrumos. It's actually, I don't know, maybe they sometimes call that. If he says Sefer, it's the Sefer HaTruma. Right? It's Rabbeinu Baruch, one of the major Balei Atosis that you will occasionally see quoted by name. The Chevan Shenispata Lachaticha Berov, putting aside the last issue. Let me just add there, the Hagosh Sharidur, which we pointed out, says that even Midaraisa, it's not Bata Berov. The Chevan Shenispata Lachaticha Berov, Mutar Lagamre, Vafili Yisur Derabanan Lecha, Umutar Adam Echa Lecha Kulam Biyachad, Afopi, Shebevadai Ochala Isur. So he says like his father, You're allowed to eat each one individually by itself. Now, why does is something strange about the Torah? Why does he say that you're allowed to eat even one at a time? What would you have said to that?
You can't eat it like all at the same time, of course, one at a time.
Well, I would have said if you're allowed to eat them all in one shot, you certainly should be allowed to eat them one at a time. So what does he mean, said even one at a time? So I didn't notice anybody comment on it, but maybe I didn't look very hard.
He said like with the korbanot that you bring, he said
that you have to eat shnayim shnayim.
Right.
So that's why he's saying.
He says in bimanav shach that
right.
There is a good one in that.
Correct. Now, I have to tell you, by the way, I don't want to talk about that case. I find it to be, I don't know why the Rishonim even discussed that case. That is a very strange idea that it's, the case is you have an animal that was pasul lamizbeach, and you have a whole bunch of animal heads that got mixed together, and you don't know which was the one from the animal that's pasul lagabei mizbeach. So the Chachamim say you can't bring any of them. And now, why can't you just burn it on the mizbeach? Why can't you just burn it on the mizbeach? The answer is that you're not allowed to burn pasul things, and you're not allowed to burn things that aren't supposed to be burned, parts of karbanos that aren't supposed to be burned. Kol shem imenu le'ishim, harehu babal taktiru. You're not allowed to burn, even if it's a regular karbon, if you don't want to eat, you're not allowed to burn the parts of the meat that are supposed to be eaten by the kohanim. Not just because it's a bitul of the mitzvah, because there's an isser of burning kol shem imenu le'ishim on the mizbeach. Any animal, what part of it goes on the mizbeach, you're not allowed to burn the other parts. So I always thought that Rabbi Eliezer's position was that it was unique to this particular case. This isser is a very strange isser of burning stuff on the mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer's view is that you look at the, if in fact what you're burning is asar al gabei mizbeach, you look at it as if it's firewood, and you don't intend it as a carbon. So I thought Rabbi Eliezer's view, but you have to do shnayim shnayim, so at least some is a carbon. I just thought his view was unique to carbonos. I don't even know why it'd be shaykh in any area in halacha. Everywhere else, would you say it would be better to eat one at a time or better to eat two at a time? Why? Because eating two at a time means it's more likely you're eating isser now.
The
goal would be, the ostensible goal of saying you should eat two at a time would be to guarantee that you're eating heter now. Who cares? We don't care whether you're eating heter. Legabe the mizbeach, I understand, we want you to be burning something of heter because that's the whole point. You're only supposed to burn certain kinds of things on the mizbeach. So if you burn two things and one is this, one is heter, I'm really burning the heter and the isser is fuel.
Maybe
but by eating, on the rabba, I don't care whether I eat heter or not. I have a heter for a pork sandwich because my bread is kosher bread. It's got kosher bread. It's okay. It's not as bad now because I mean it's a heter with it. Adarab, heter mitzaref l'iser. We don't paskin that way, but
maybe when you take one out, if it turns out to be the treifon, there is no suffix at all. Like when you take one out, there's no suffix. There aren't two at once, and if it turns out that was the treifon, then it's
anyway. The ein tzarach lahashlich echad keneged ha'iser. That's lafuke from the shita of Rami Berg. Dafilu ma'iser iser hana kigam chametz bePesach bata barom kevan shu yavesh beyavesh. V'Rashi asar tarobes chametz bePesach yavesh beyavesh b'achino matir bano el shematzich lahashlich echad mehem lunar. So you don't get benefit from it. And Rav Alfa somer oser akol dafilu bano, but v'adoni avi rasel matir akol dafilu b'achino. I don't want to discuss this at length. I'm going to just tell you to answer one of the questions on the sheet. I asked you, what's the status of Yisur HaNon Chametz B'Pesach? So the basic core machlokas really is the same machlokas as the Rush and the Rashba. The Rush says, Yisur Nepach, in a case of Tarovis Yavesh B'Yavesh, Yisur Nepach Lios Heter. Should there be a difference between Yisur HaChila and those things that are Asar Bana? The answer is no. Once you say bittul dictates that something is iser nepach lios heter, it doesn't matter what it is. But there's a run on this. I don't think I gave you this run to do, and it's what the Rashba holds as well, is that the only time we said that yavesh is b'yavesh is batil chad betray is by things that are isurim of ta'am. Namely, things that would be batil b'shishim if it was bin b'shein omino. But by things that are aser even b'meya, the Masayim, in higher amounts, in those cases, so it's a totally different category. It's not about bitul atam. It's simply the Chachamim regarded it, I would say, as a certain kind of davar chashuv that's never batel. Now, as Isuri Hana and Chametz Pesach are just like, in Yavesh B'Yavesh, are just like a general min b'mino of Arla Kalei Kerem. What we say, it's such a davar chashuv, the regular shir of bitul don't apply. And in this case, the shir of bitul, there is no shir of bitul. Okay, Now, there are those, by the way, who adopt the compromise position. There are those who want to say that Isuri Hana are B'Telem Yavesh B'Yavesh, with the exception of Chametz B'Pesach. Why? It's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, which we're going to learn about at some later point. I spoke about it briefly the other day, I think on Tuesday. A Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin doesn't have B'Tel. Okay.
This quotation of the Rosh is the same thing as that it said in the beginning, right?
It's the same position. Matir HaKol V'Afilu V'Achila. He's saying even by Chametz B'Pesach. Even by Chametz B'Pesach. And the Rosh does say that explicitly, not in Chulon. I think he says that in Avodah Zarah. Fine. Beis. In Bishal HaTarobos, HaTaroves Achash Nispat HaBarov, Kosev HaRashbar Shekol Echad Echad Mutu B'Fnei Atzma V'Arot Debeno Sein Tam. That's what he wrote originally. Shetzarach Shishim Kiregar Iser. Vadoni versus Alchilek Pesev Kostav Shem Lonoda Taruto Kodesh Nespasol Tzorach Shishim Kneger Iser. But from Noda Taruto Kodesh Nespasol Gama Rota Butter. We spoke about this Kulo. Kemo Achaticho Shem Esarvu Vim Achash Shem Esvata Boro Nitosef Ala Iser Chozer Vinesar. It's the Rashi Shita. Right? The Rashba says, he quotes the Rashba who says that if you cook them together, it's mutter. We know the Rashba changed his mind. The Rashba did say, which I'm not going to explain because I don't understand it, is that if you have a pot and you cook two on one side and one on the other, maybe it's mutter. Okay. Yeah, but it doesn't explain it better, Alta, because if it's in a pot with soup, he says, the Rashba says in one pot. If the Rashba had said you can cook two in one pot and one in another, that would be a good proof for the Shach. But he's saying two on one side of the pot, one on the other side, there's soup at the bottom. If there's no soup at all, it doesn't matter that two are on one side. It's like cooking three pieces separately, and that's fine. Once there's soup at the bottom, just because two are on one side of the pot and one is on the other side of the pot, so what?
Isn't the point that there's no transfer of time between the pieces?
No, but then what does it mean two pieces on one side and one on the other? Time doesn't transfer. You should be able to put all three on one side of the pot. Time also won't transfer because there's no rotef to transfer them. But that's not what the Rashba says. Not what the Rashba says. Right? The Rashba says there isn't. Where does he, where's the tshuva that he quotes? He quotes the tshuva and he backed out. And then he said, does he quote that part of the Rashba? He must.
Which part?
About two and one.
Yeah, so it's the two lines above the Divrei Eran.
Okay. So he says, in Bishol mitzasam litzad echan mitzasam litzad acher shekol mutter. That's not two pots, that's one pot and two sides of the pot. And what do you envision? You know, unless he reads this, maybe the Shach wants to read this as two of them on one side of the pot touching with no soup, and one on the other side of the pot. That's not the. But then he should have just said you cook two of them at once.
Also, is that bishul?
Correct. It's not called bishul. Yeah. It's. I don't know. If seances were permissible and I could call up the Rashba, I'd want to ask him this question. Okay. But unfortunately, they're not. I wouldn't know how to do one anyway. So. It's going to remain Bitzarach Iyun and Teiku for the moment. What was the Rashba's position? Okay. Let's take a very brief look at the Shulchan Aruch. How many of you read through all the Beis Yosef? Do you feel there's anything we haven't covered in the Beis Yosef when we read the Rishonim? I don't know. You might find a couple of lines. I think we basically touched on. Yeah. So when you do the Rishonim properly and then you go to learn Beis Yosef, there's not much left to learn. Of course, the value of Beis Yosef is, you know, which we've shown him to learn. If you don't see it on the so yourself, you go, oh, hey, there's a, you know. All right. In the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Chuftas, so, Mechaber writes, Chaticha she'ena ruya lehiskabed, she'nis arva ba'acheros min b'mino yavesh b'yavesh, and the Ramah explains, the hainu she'en nivlal va'iser omed bi'atzma le'she'nis arev ve'eno makiro. And this can be, as the Shach points out, in the name of many, even Rishonim, the Trumas Adeshin, the Darkei Moshe, which brought by the Darkei Moshe, the Beis Yosef, that flour is considered Lach Belach. So Rama explains, the Hainu She'enu Yavesh Yerushin She'en Nivla Va'isar Omer Biatzmo Elishin Is Arev Einu Makiro. You can't figure out, you don't know which one it is. So the Mechaber says, Chad betray batil, like the Ran, like the Rashba, like Tosfos, not like the Ravid. Umutal la'ochlam adam echad, kol achas b'fnei atzmo. One person is allowed to eat all of them, but each one individually. Meaning, how's he paskening? Like the Rashba and the Ran. Aval, lo yochal shloshtam yachad, v'yesh mi she'oser la'ochlam adam echad afilu ze achar ze. And who would that be? Who says that one person can't eat them even b'zachar zeh? No. Tosfos. In other words, Tosfos says maybe one person shouldn't eat all three. That's the second. That's the Yesh Omer. The Yesh Misha Oseh. Which is the primary opinion for the Mechaber? I think the Klalei Apsak. What's the rule? When Apsak quotes a day and then he quotes a... When the Mechaber quotes a day and he quotes a Yesh Omer, which was the real din according to him? First day. Okay. What's that? That I don't know. I only know this, and I haven't seen it inside. Somewhere, it may be in one of his son's things that he put together. Chacham Ovadia has all these klalim of the Mechaber's Psak. And that's, I think, a sort of famous one, is broadly accepted, that the first day of the two is what he thinks is the primary. Okay, and then the Ramah says, V'chein yesh lenug l'chatchila, you should follow l'chatchila, the Balei Tosfos. You'll see, b'dieved, how does the Ramah hold? There are four deos. The Rush says you can all three at once. The Rashba says you can all three back to back. The Tosfos says one person can eat all three, but Jews can eat all of them. And the Maharam Yerubrik says you should throw one away to give it to someone who is allowed to eat it. So the Mechaber quotes deos number 2 and 3. And the Ramah says, L'chatchila, you should be no way like position number 3, that one person can't eat all of them, but you can give it to two different Jews. What does the Ramah hold as the position maker then, b'di'eved? Noam? The rush. That doesn't come in Sifalf, it comes in Sifes when he talks about if you cook them together in a soup. So v'yesh machmirin l'hashlach echad or l'itein la'akom, and that's the Marami Wittenberg, v'eino elachom rabba alma. V'chozek et shen esari b'mino, avo shelo b'mino v'ein makiro afilu yavesh b'yavesh. Sarech shishim. Fine, like the Bala Truma. Ve'ein chilek b'chozeh b'ein ame isur midrabanon midaraisa. There's no difference whether this is the raisa drabanon. And later you can look about in Siman Kochapes what came got mixed together. So here's one piece of the tour that I did skip. The one piece that I'm missing, Ellie, that's important and not that important, is the Urza Ruah he quotes right at the end. What does the Urza Ruah say? That if the isur is the rabbanon, by the raisa, you need a rov. Because Sveka the Raisa Lachumra. Sveka the Raisa means 50-50. However, if it's an Issa the Rabbanon, the Orzarua said that Chad Bechad is Batel. Why? Because Sveka the Rabbanon Lakula 50-50. The Beis Yosef rejects it. The Ramah is rejecting that here as well. There is another detail that the Shach sort of focuses in on, which some think the Ramah meant, and it sounds like, but the Shach says it can't be. What happens if you're dealing with a Taroves of min b'she'eno mino yavesh b'yavesh, but the whole Isser is only the Rabbanon? So why is it that we say that taroves min b'mino of yavesh b'yavesh is mutter b'rov, even mid Rabbanon? What? Because even if you cooked it together, what would the Isser be? The Rabbanon. So let me ask you a question. If I have three pieces of something, one of them is also mid Rabbanon, don't know which one, and I cook them together, and they have different flavors. And now the Isser puts flavor in the heter, and I eat it. Is that an Isser deraisa or an Isser drabanon? Why? Because the whole Isser itself was only drabanon. So, when I have a tarobes of an Isser drabanon, min b'she'eno mino, yavesh b'yavesh, do you need shishim? What do you say? You only need a rov. And that's what the Shach thinks, you only need a rov. The Ramah could be read as saying that both the requirements of Rov for Min B'mino and Shisha for Min B'sheino Mino apply whether the Issa is the Raisa Drabanan. And the Shach says that's wrong. He thinks maybe the Ramah didn't mean that. The Ramah only meant that the requirement for Rov, not Mechza, but Rov by Min B'mino, is required by the Raisas and the Rabbanans, but the requirement of Shisha would only be by an Issa the Raisa Min B'sheino Mino. A Min B'sheino Mino by the Rabbanan, since even if you cooked them together, it could only be an Issa the Rabbanan, there the Ramah would agree, you only need a Rov. Ellie?
Doesn't he think that the simple reading of the Ramah is actually that he does disagree with the Shach as well? Just he says
the Shach thinks the initial reading of the Ramah is that he says it across the board. But he says maybe the Ramah really only meant it that way.
Really, yeah. Really, he only says that because he just doesn't find logic.
Correct. So that's why he gets a kvetch read in the Rambam. He acknowledges such. Okay. And then Sif Beis. Yavesh be yavesh in ispat el chad betray im bishlon kula keechad afilu lecha kol echad afrei atzmo osur im ein sham shishim v'mnei sha'arote benose in tav v'divila b'chatichos v'imrotze levashlan yachad. Now, so that's the Rashba's position. V'imrotze levashlan yachad muta leharba salem kidei shir shishim levashlan v'edom yishim mevat alisur. Whose position is that? Who says that even though you're not allowed to cook the three together, you can add enough kosher meat and then cook it all? That's the Ra'ah. But one of the challenges to know, by the way, whether you really learned everything cold, is that when you read the Shulchan Aruch, before you look at the Bi'ar Agra or the Be'er Agola, if you can look at every line in the Mechaber and Ramah and know exactly where it's coming from. Now, sometimes in the Ramah, they put stuff in parentheses, they tell you, which, by the way, be very careful about. There are a lot of those parentheses of Makoros, when it's just a Makar, would not put in by the Ramah. And in many of the early Shulchan Aruchs, there were errors in those Makoros. The Rishonim will sometimes, the Acharonim will sometimes point those out. So anyway, be careful about the citations and parentheses of the Rambam, but you should be able to look at every line in Mechaber Rambam and say, oh, that's Tosfos, that's the Rambam, that's the Yer Zeruah, etc. You should be able to do that. In this case, this line is the Ra'ah. And then the Rambam concludes by saying, V'yish omrim dem noda taroves kodem shenispat lu biyachad ha'kol shari dein chosem in asara me'achar shenispat lu yavesh u'makom hefsed yesh lismoch adivrim mekiyim lahatir. Whose position is this? Correct. It says right, the Torah in the name of the Rush. Alter. Maker Adin?
Yeah.
Because of this. And he says you can be samech upon it, but Malcolm Hesed. B'diavad. Yeah. I think the Ramah, well, I think if you read the Ramah even in the Darkei Moshe, I think it's even clearer. It really, we should hold this way. We don't. L'chatchila. Yes. Yes. L'chatchila position is that two Jews shouldn't eat all of them, but one Jew can't eat, shouldn't eat all of them, but two Jews can. Okay. Now, I just want to take a few minutes, before I talk about the parsha, a few minutes, very quickly to go over the questions. So let's go around the room, and I show no mercy here, so I'm going to ask you to quickly answer the questions. When dealing, Yosef, your bad luck to start on your side today. When dealing with taroves of min mimino and yavesh b'yavesh, what's the shear bittel?
Sorry, I don't have
the... Yavesh b'yavesh, min mimino, same flavor. What's the shear bittel?
Rove,
that's all. Number two, Lavi, following the opinion of the majority of Rishonim regarding the answer to the previous question, not the Ravid, you could have said the Ravid holds its Shishim, how may the Taroves be consumed? Namely, how many people and how many sittings may be eaten? One, give me one Shita, Lavi. Of the four Shitos, how can you eat those three pieces? Pick one.
All at once.
Shita of the? Number two.
One at a time, one person.
One at a time, one person. The Shita of? Round of the Rashba. Simon, number three. He said you can eat them all at once. He said you can eat them consecutively, one person. Next position. Either other position. The either one. All right, I'm going to take a pass. Should we?
No, one person. But Tosa can't
eat. Just pick up. Tosa says, one person can eat all three, but two people can eat all three. And Ben Sion, fourth position. What do you do? How can the three pieces be eaten? All at once? One person, one after another? Two Jews and fourth
add
position?
More and then
you don't think. Without doing that, what's the fourth position? Zachary?
Throw one out.
Throw it to the dogs. Okay. Question number three. When dealing with the taroves of mimbish eino mino lach balach, what is the shear of bittel, Avram? Mimbish eino mino. Lemaisa? Well, fair enough. Give me three opinions. One opinion, what's the din d'oraisa?
Yeah,
machlokas. Most hold rove, but the Shagoshai Dura says d'oraisa is more than a rove is necessary. And then, what's the din d'rabanan may also be a machlokas, which would be the choices are?
Shishim.
Or rove. Whatever the Torah thought originally. Fine. I actually meant to write in the question Yavesh B'Yavesh. Okay, that's what you were answering that question. Fine. What's the definition of Lach B'Lach versus Yavesh B'Yavesh? Right, you just look at the three opinions I gave there. It's clear, I meant Yavesh B'Yavesh. Okay, so correct that. Number four, what is the definition of Lach B'Lach versus Yavesh B'Yavesh, Josh? In one word?
Together.
No. Kesser? No, it doesn't have to.
That's two words.
Ellie? Nivlal, thank you. That's owing to blends. Okay. Question number five. What's the meaning of chad betray batil? Alter? Chad betray Batil? What's the question we're asking? What are the two choices?
Oh, is it one
of
water
industry? No. Is it no, CJ? Oh. Well, as opposed to? Two-thirds. Does it have to be literally 2-1? Okay, it's a machlokas acharonim. Six, according to the Rashba, may one person consume two of the three pieces at once? Tal? According to the Rashba, can you put two on a sandwich?
I don't know what the Rashba says.
He doesn't say anything explicitly, but what does the Shach say about the Rashba? He says you can eat two, and I don't agree. I'm not in the Shach's category, but does the Rashba sound like that? Zach? Either one. Orange shine. That you can eat two out of three? Or does he sound like me? That you can only eat one at a time? Right, correct. Okay, that's why I clarify. Rashba sounds you got to eat them ochlan achas achas. I know that. But you read the Rashba. Yeah, okay, fine.
What's the time frame for achas achas
also? That was mentioned yesterday. Question number seven, what is the status of Isurim in terms of, okay, we talked about briefly, I'm not that interested in that in the moment. Question number eight, what is the conceptual point of departure between the Rush and the Rashba? What?
They agree.
You a Shachnik? Okay. I need a Chabad person. Come on, what's the conceptual point of departure between the Rashba and the Ran? And the Rashba and the Rush, in a nutshell, in just a few words. Or it's a bittul versus suffik and probability. Okay. Question number nine. How does the Rush explain why chasav and era changes the reality back? If it was a reality change of Isser Nepach Lias Heter, how does chasav and era, when you add Isser, how does that change the reality? The answer is two words.
He doesn't.
He does. What two words? Not to our satisfaction. Two words. No. Why is it chasav and era? No. Hukar ha'iser. Okay. Finally, the last part was the Monty Hall problem. For those of you who didn't hear this discussed during Seder, the Monty Hall problem is as follows. And I'm not going to argue with you now if anybody who wants to disagree because you'll be wrong because it's not my bikias here. Like, you have a game show. There are three doors. There are two goats and one car behind. There's three doors respectively. You obviously, presumably, want the car. You're not Vernon Supreme running for president that every person gets a goat. And you choose a door, but you don't open it. The game show host who... What?
Pony.
I know. I said, but you want a goat instead of a pony. I understood that. And now, you pick a door, but you don't open it. You pick door number one. The game show host says to you the following. He knows where the car is. I'm going to open a door for you, which has a goat behind it. And he opens door number three and shows you a goat. And now the question is, you can change doors. You can pick two if you want. Should you change doors? And the answer to the question is yes. There's a two-thirds probability that the car is behind the second door and not the first door. I'm not here to argue. Right? You know there's a goat behind door three. You don't know what's behind one and two. There's a two-thirds probability that it's behind door two. It's not. No, it's 30. It's a one-third on door one now, two-thirds on door two. What? It's one-third on door one and two-thirds on door two now. For those of you who are struggling to understand why this is a ridiculous problem should be the case, if the game show host did not know where the car was and he opened the door randomly of the two and he got a goat, then it would be a 50-50% chance. But it's his knowledge the way he goes about it that actually changes what the odds are. It's been demonstrated empirically. It can be demonstrated mathematically. Fine. So in this particular case, if the malach comes down and he identifies piece three for you as heter, and you want to know, you picked up piece one, should you switch to piece two or not? The answer is it's usher to eat piece two. No, in this case, you want the reverse. You want a goat in this case. Two goats, one car. Two heter, one isser. So in this case, there's a two-thirds probability of the piece that you picked up is heter. One-third probability of the piece that he didn't point out that you didn't pick up is isser. It's mutter legamre to eat the first piece. It's an isser d'oraisa and a chiyuv chatas to eat the second piece.
Not according to the Rosh.
Not according to the Rosh. Yeah, it's
no. Because I believe at this particular point, you already have gone down the road to Hukar HaIsr.
It's not Hukar, it's the Vutal. You have a chance, but we don't care about probability.
What's that?
It's just probability.
So, you know, I retract that. You're right, not according to the Rush. No. That's fine. I thought about this because the Rush is Hukar Isser. Maybe. I'm not sure. Got to think about what the Rush would say in this case. Because you've gone on your way. You've gone on your way. In other words, there has been something established here for the Rush. So I'm not sure what the Rush would say. But yes, according to the Rush, well, it would be Mutatit, the first piece, the one you picked up. It would be an Isser Dereis, Achiv Chatas, to eat the second piece. Okay. So we're going to stop regular Shir with that.